It's my pleasure to welcome Hillel Presser to the show. He is an attorney and founder of the Presser Law Firm and author of Financial Self-Defense. He specializes in the area of asset protection and is here to talk to us about some important things along those lines today. Hillel, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, well, my pleasure. How are things in sunny Florida?
Oh, couldn't be better.
Good. Good stuff. Well, tell us a little bit about what it is your firm does.
Well, our firm focuses really in two areas, mainly from an asset protection point of view, and secondarily from an estate planning point of view. From an asset protection point of view, what we do as asset protection attorneys is we help our clients protect any asset they have from any financial threat. So, you know, people work very hard for their money, you know, so they can retire, live a better lifestyle, donate to their charities, pass money along to their kids, but they never stop to think about, you know, what would happen if I was sued? You know, what if there was a lawsuit, a car accident, a divorce, a slip and fall? You know, you work your whole life, but one lawsuit can take everything away. We also deal with estate planning, which is how do you transfer your assets where you want them to go after you pass away? You know, so many people haven't even thought about this. And you really need to put together an estate plan to make sure that whatever it is you have goes where you want it to go quickly, cheaply, and privately. And that's pretty much what we do. We focus on both of those areas, asset protection, protecting what you have while you're alive, and estate planning, making sure things go where you want them to go when you pass on.
Talk to us a little bit. I mean, we'll get into the asset protection, but you know, there's a new area of law that is emerging, and it is the whole area of one's digital life. You know, when someone passes away, they have accounts. They have, you know, Google accounts. They have Facebook accounts. They may, you know, have been people, you know, that post on YouTube and do all sorts of things in the digital world. What's going on in that area? I mean, this like any other, I mean, it could definitely be considered an asset. It's something that is inherited, right, and possibly even probated, I would assume.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when people come to us for asset protection and estate planning, and you ask them what they have, you know, they're quick to mention their businesses, their cash, their stocks and bonds, their homes, but they never really talk about the digital assets. You know, what about the online photo albums, the online music albums, the username and passwords, the Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, Google Plus, you know, all the social media accounts, even intellectual property like phone numbers and domain names. You know, a lot of times those are worth a lot more than the non-digital assets. And it's so important that while you're alive, you protect those assets. Because if you're sued and all of a sudden someone takes one of your digital assets, it could be detrimental. I mean, think about it. You know, what if a competitor got your phone number or domain name, and now all of a sudden, you know, all of the phones are ringing at the competitor, and the website is pointing to his website. Well, you know, those are assets you need to protect while you're alive. No different when you pass away. You need to make sure that they go where you want them to go, you know, quickly and privately. And in today's digital economy, you know, it's becoming more and more of an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, very good point. So what happens, or what should someone do? You know, I mean, I heard a news media report about Google and Facebook, actually, fairly recently, how they let those accounts be inherited. What are the mechanics of that? I mean, does it have to be in someone's will and their living trust, or do they just show Facebook or Google a death certificate and then they say, okay, you know, you're the heir, do you have to be the executor of the estate? What goes on there? I mean, it's sort of a strange area.
You bring up a lot of great points, and you know, I'll try and hit on all of them. I tell my clients to do a three-step process. Number one is, before you do anything, you need to educate yourself on what your options are. And for any of your listeners today, if they go to our website, which is www.assetprotectionattorneys.com, that's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com, there's a wealth of information. Also, if any of your listeners fill out the contact us form on the site, as long as they mention your show, I'll send them a free copy of our latest book, Financial Self-Defense. So first things first, they need to educate themselves. After they've educated themselves, they need to inventory what they have. You know, so many people have a lot more than what they think they do. So they really need to take down the time and write down every single thing that they have. Only once they've educated themselves and inventoried what they have can they talk about how to protect it and pass it along. And in regards to passing it along, you know, there's a couple different options. And as time goes on and this becomes more and more of a concern to the public, you know, more and more options will come up. But right now, there's sites that they can actually retain that will pass their digital assets on after they pass away. Another option is they can put in their will or trust who they want to leave the digital assets to. But just make sure that, you know, you don't put too much information in the will, as it could be public record. Another thing they can do is leave the information with a friend or relative or, you know, trusted advisor like a lawyer, financial advisor, or CPA, and then in the will or trust just direct the loved one or beneficiary of where they should go. So there's a couple different options, but regardless, you have to make sure that all that information is passed along, because if not, it could cause a lot of problems.
Yeah. Okay, talk to us about the more traditional side of asset protection, if you would. You know, what are some of the things that people need to know and be conscientious of? You know, maybe some of the easy steps we'll start with, you know, that just everybody can use to be smart about their assets while they're alive.
Sure.
So please don't say living trust.
No, and you're correct there. It's so crazy, because so many people walk into my office with a domestic revocable living trust and think they have their assets are protected, but really they have 0% protection, and it's a big misconception in the industry. But a couple things, you know, number one is, you know, you spend a whole lifetime making money, so just stop, take a breath, and figure out how to protect it. You know, the challenge that I give to my clients is that for every 60 minutes you spend making money, spend 60 seconds thinking about how to protect it. Ways that you can protect it, number one is get everything out of your name. You know, nobody really owns anything anyways. You might think you own your house, but you surely can't take it with you when you pass away. So it's really much more like a long-term lease. You know, stop being so concerned with whose name the asset is in. You know, start being concerned with who gets to benefit from the asset.
It's the use of it, the utility. And, you know, I'd say one more thing on that owning your house concept. First of all, most people have a loan on their house, so they don't really own, in quotes, it in that way. But even if they own it free and clear, and they think they own it, they have a homeowners association possibly that has a lien on the property, a perpetual lien, and of course property taxes that have a perpetual lien on the property. You know, if you pay cash for a $1 million property, but you don't pay your property taxes, guess what? You're going to lose that property, or the association does, same thing.
Definitely, and I tell my clients, own nothing, control everything. So get everything out of your name. You know, put it in protective entities like trusts, LLCs, limited partnerships, etc. You know, but don't have anything in your personal name. If you have checking, savings, stocks, bonds, CDs, money markets, real estate, and it's in your personal name, you can lose it. So you got to get it out of your name and into the correct protective entity. Another thing you could do is, you know, invest it in exemptions. You know, different states have different exemptions, and we have a list. If you go to our website, it's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. If you hit on financial planning on the left-hand side, there's a list of what the exemptions are for your state. And what exemptions are assets that are protected by state law. So, for example, in Florida, you know, life insurance is protected, your house is protected, retirement accounts and annuities are protected, wages are protected to some degree. So, again, every state is different, but take assets that are not protected, like cash in the bank, and invest them in assets that are protected, like life insurance or annuities.
So on that issue of states, I mean, is there a certain best state in which to live to be protected just by being a resident there, you know, of that state?
Sure. Well, you know, depending on where you want to live really depends on those exemptions. So there's a lot of different good places to live. I mean, certainly Florida is a great place to live if you want to be a debtor, because the exemptions protect so much. You know, Texas is another good state. There certainly are better places you want to live, you know, if you're ever going to owe someone money, because, you know, for example, you know, in Florida, you know, you can have life insurance and it's totally protected. You know, the death benefit, the cash value. Well, in Georgia, I mean, I think it's only protected up to, and I'm going from my memory, maybe about $4,000. So just
that's
right.
Nothing.
Exactly. So you want to make sure that you pick the best place to live, you know, not just for, you know, where you're going to live and work, but also in case you ever owe anybody money.
Mm-hmm. So, So is Florida better than Texas, or is Texas better than Florida?
You know, again, you know, some have advantages and disadvantages, and, you know, it's really important. There's no one-size-fits-all, and you can't only look at asset protection. You know, you have to look at asset protection, you have to look at tax, you have to look at financial, you have to look at climate, you have to look at state government. I mean, there's so much that goes into it that I couldn't give you a blanket answer, but, you know, you don't want to just look at things alone on an island.
What else do people need to know?
You know, we talked about owning nothing, controlling everything. We talked about, you know, taking non-exempt assets and investing them in exempt assets. You know, another thing people can do is what I call equity stripping. You know, what's a $100,000 car worth if you own $95,000? What's a $1 million house worth if you own $950,000? You know, loans, mortgages, encumbrances, they can be your best friend. You know, you want to look poor. You want to look like a bad candidate for a lawsuit, so if anybody ever looks you up, it looks like you don't have that much. So feel free to equity strip your assets, you know, put UCCs on them, put loans, put mortgages. They can end up being your best friend.
So is that what they call, in the world of asset protection, friendly liens?
You know, they do call them friendly liens, but with that being said, you want them to have merit, because if a quote-unquote friendly lien is ever challenged and it's not a real mortgage, you know, then a judge can undo it. So I like to talk more about equity stripping, which are real liens as opposed to friendly liens that someone might put on that you don't really owe money to.
So are they done through a third party then, meaning that, you know, you actually go to the bank and borrow money to get out of your, you know, to get the equity out of your house?
Certainly a third party is best because, you know, it shows the break in relationship. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, having it done with a friend or relative as long as you can prove your case. I mean, you know, if someone has a lien on your house for $200,000, you know, you have to be ready to prepare to show them, okay, here's the $200,000 that I borrowed and here's where it went. So, again, yes, a third party is better, but really it comes down to what proof do you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. All right, what else?
You know, I think something, you know, that I see a lot with business owners, another big misconception, just like the people who think the trusts are protected, are so many of these business owners these days have S corporations. And it's because the accountants really have pushed them for tax purposes. But really, an S corp is one of the worst entities you can have from an asset protection point of view. You know, if you sue somebody and win and they have money in the bank, you can take it. You know, if you sue somebody and win and they don't have money in the bank, but they have Facebook stock or Apple stock, you can take it because the stock is an asset. Well, no difference between an S corp or even a C corp. You know, if you're operating your business as an S corp, you know, if you're ever sued personally, you know, they can take the shares in your S corp or C corp and vote how they want and essentially take over your company. So many people create businesses, corporations, because they want to protect their personal assets from business debt. Well, what I find with most of my clients is their business is their biggest asset. And if their livelihood, their biggest asset, their cash flow is taken, you know, they would be in a bad situation. So if you have your business categorized as an S corp or a C corp and you own the shares, you definitely want to have that looked at, you know, by a qualified asset protection attorney.
So what do you do instead?
Well, there's a lot of different entities. Excuse me. And it just depends, you know, what you're trying to do. Again, there's no one size fits all. You know, an asset protection LLC might be better for someone. A limited partnership might be better for someone. Again, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like Wyoming is a really desirable state because you have charging order protection on single member LLCs. I think just Nevada and Wyoming are the only ones that do that, right?
Yeah, and you know, laws are changing. And that's the important thing. You know, LLCs are a newer type of entity. They're kind of like a hybrid of the limited partnership and the corporation. But I mean, I don't know if you remember back to 2010, you know, just here in Florida, you know, we had the Olmstead case. And the Olmstead case was a Florida Supreme Court case in 2010, and it essentially stated that single-member LLCs had no charging order protection, which, you know, I both know means they have no asset protection. So here,
right, in California, though, right?
No, I'm talking about Florida.
Oh, that's Florida. Yeah, Florida overturned, I heard about that, they overturned like years and years of law, didn't they?
Exactly. So you always have to pay attention because you never know what can change.
Yeah, it's definitely true. Boy, that's scary that Florida did that. Any insight into that? I mean, why would they do such a, it seems like that would just send a chill up the spine of every business person in Florida that they'd run out of state.
And it really did, and, you know, the worst is that it really didn't define, you know, what the new law was, because, you know, essentially what it stated is that, you know, single-member LLCs no longer have the charging order protection. Well, okay, what about multi-member LLCs? How much of a percentage does the other person need to have? You know, can I have 99% and give someone 1%? You know, do they have to have a 10% interest? So I think there's a lot more case law to come in the future, and, you know, again, that's, you know, the law's changing, and even if you have a good asset protection plan or a good estate plan, you know, you have to have it checked up on every year or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. All right, anything to kind of wrap this subject up and tell people what else they need to know?
You know, really just that, you know, you spend so much time working for your money, you spend so much time, you know, putting your assets together, just stop and just realize that, you know, one financial disaster, you know, can take it away. You know, nobody gets up in the morning and expects to be sued. I think the stats the last time I checked were about 1 in 3 people will be sued in the next 12 months, and, you know, the average person and company is sued 4 to 5 times over their lifetime. So, you know, nobody's immune. It can and it probably will happen to you at some point in your life. So just make sure you're prepared. And again, you know, if you do absolutely nothing, just educate yourself. And, you know, for any of your listeners, as a special courtesy, you know, if they go to our website at www.assetprotectionattorneys.com, fill out the contact us form. As long as they mention your show, we'll send them a free book.
All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate you joining us here today and telling us more about this very important subject.
Oh, I appreciate you having me.